We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Pod World Headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider from Learfield IMG College, presented by Harris Teeter, where Tar Heel fans shop for groceries.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider, brought to you, presented by Harris Teeter. They're assisting you with groceries this basketball season. Each week, one winner will receive free groceries for every assist through the Big Four Grocery Assist Sweepstakes. Who was last week's winner, you may ask? It was Carol from Lancaster, South Carolina. Carol, I know you are ecstatic right now. You won $715 in Harris Teeter gift cards. HarrisTeeter.com. Look for the Grocery Assist Sweepstakes section to enter. Adam, a bit of a change of plans here on the show. We were anticipating, a little pod after dark. Following Carolina and Miami in the Smith Center. But Adam, check it. The Tar Heels in Miami didn't play. About 2 hours before the game was supposed to begin, the ACC releasing a statement that said the postponement follows a meeting of personnel from both schools who mutually concluded the game could not move forward. Both teams continue to adhere to the minimum outlined protocols within the ACC Medical Advisory Group report. If you'd like to read that report, you can see it on theacc.com. Try not to flood their website all at once with too much traffic. So, Adam, hard not to also bring up the fact that there was a video that was presented earlier in the day of Tar Heel players at some kind of gathering, allegedly following the Duke game on Saturday night, not necessarily following their best wear, wait, and wash COVID protocols. And so while that has not been officially declared the reason that this game was put on pause, I think it would be logical to put those two hands together. It's disappointing. It's frustrating. And you hate that the game isn't going to be played for both teams.
I think we have to remember this isn't something that dozens of teams haven't already dealt with this year in football and basketball. And we're lucky that it hasn't happened in this way. Football had to deal with it some, but not in this proximity to the scheduled start time. we're lucky we haven't really had to deal with it until now. It really, a lot of thoughts about this, Jones. It really reminds me of the fact that we are talking about 18 to 22 year olds.
Yep.
The primary characteristic of that age group, which I feel like I am qualified to speak on since I know many of them, some of whom live in my house, is that they do things that many years from now they think, I can't believe I did that. And I think the rush for people in any age bracket other than 18 to 22 to tisk tisk and be amazed that this occurred, and apparently to have been unaware that this was occurring until they saw it on video, is incredible. And again, those individuals made bad decisions.
Absolutely.
They made very, 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 very poor decisions. Very poor decisions. But that is what 18 to 22-year-olds do on almost a daily basis.
I'm a man. I'm 40. And I make terrible decisions.
And the fact that you wouldn't have gone to a party and let someone video it with their camera phone doesn't mean that it's not happening today. And I also think you have to remember that we have asked these 18 to 22-year-olds, not just Carolina's 18 to 22-year-olds, but everyone who plays Division I basketball, we have asked them to fundamentally change one of the most important things in their life so that we can turn on the TV and watch the Heels play Duke.
Right.
And it's a great privilege to be able to play for Carolina basketball. We understand that. But until you've considered what you would do if someone came to you and said, I need you to make these fundamental changes that you did not sign up for in any way in order to be able to play the sport that you love, then I'm not sure you should say, well, I would never do that. Very poor decision by these individuals. Very, very poor. But I'm a little uncomfortable with all the passing judgment on their character and somehow the responsibility level of anyone associated with it, because now you've seen it on video.
Right. That's the difference, of course.
Now you've seen it on video. And that doesn't look like a party you would go to. This is 18 to 22-year-old life. And they're trying to get through this the best that all the rest of us are. And yes, we have all made sacrifices. I'm sure someone out there is thinking, well, I've made a lot of sacrifices. Probably so. But at least acknowledge that there have been some sacrifices on this side too for them to be able to play the game they love, and they screwed up poor decision on one night. Were you as equally happy the other 100 nights that everything went just like you thought it should? And I also think people always assume they know everything once they read the press release. I think you can safely assume you don't know the details of how this all occurred, the actual postponement itself, and you probably shouldn't make any assumptions unless you definitely know.
One thing that I have been surprised by is how many people suggest that Carolina should somehow forfeit this game.
You're just trying to get me riled up.
So that would, I think that's silly. I think it would set a really dangerous precedent because there have been, you know, there have been a lot of teams that have had to have COVID pauses, and those teams aren't forfeiting those games. There are some teams that voluntarily canceled games, and those games did not get forfeited. I think it's also important to understand that this release does not say that this game was postponed because of a positive test and subsequent contact tracing, or whatever it is that the language that we've all seen a lot for these type of canceled games or postponed games this year. It says that personnel from both schools mutually concluded the game could not move forward. Both teams continue to adhere to the outlined protocols with the ACC Medical Advisory Group report. Individuals made some poor choices, but that doesn't mean that we need to go to this extreme decision.
That is so silly. The idea that Carolina should be the one team
right.
in football or basketball in 2020-21 that forfeits a game they don't play when there have been hundreds of other games not played, zero of which have been forfeited because I saw it on video.
And just to be clear, that hasn't happened, isn't going to happen.
Right. Well, and, you know, the only people who Tar Heel basketball players are truly accountable to are their teammates and the coaches. If they owe an apology to someone, that's going to get handled not on Twitter.
Right.
And it will get handled in a way that I'm sure will be stern. But like, they're not worried about what you think on Twitter about them. Brandon Robinson sat here last year and told us that same thing in a different set of circumstances. That's not the primary worry. The primary worry is when they go in the locker room, is everybody on the same page and is everybody okay with each other? That's the worry. And there's no reason to believe that they won't be, but you've got some fences to mend now. I think it's safe to say.
And I want to be clear one more time. Neither Adam nor I are suggesting that some Tar Heels didn't mess up here.
Right. They did.
It's very clear that they did.
They obviously did.
However, I think it's fair to say that in the grand scheme of college athletics over the last year or so, we'll just use that as a general marker, that the Tar Heels aren't the only team that had some individuals that made some poor decisions. And that it's, we know why this one is being treated differently. It's because there's video evidence. But that doesn't mean that it should be treated differently. We know why it is, but that doesn't mean that it should.
Well, if you're sitting there wondering, well, Jones and Adam, you said that 18 and 22-year-olds act like this all the time. I never saw this in the fall. Well, of course not. The students weren't on campus then.
That's another big thing, is that the students are here. And I think this goes to also, Adam, this larger discussion and concern that students rushed Franklin Street after the game on Saturday, to which I don't know how many people did that. Those were poor decisions. We said it after, I think we talked about it after the Alabama kids did it down in Tuscaloosa. Not a smart idea, considering everything that we know in the current state of existence. However, if you are surprised this happened, that makes me more curious than anything else, that you would think this wouldn't happen in this set of circumstances. Doesn't mean it should or that it was the right thing to do. That is not what I'm saying. I am saying I am surprised that you're surprised.
The defining characteristic of the age group is that they do questionable things on an almost daily basis. It is a tiny percentage of that age group who you would evaluate all their decisions and think, that is exactly how I would handle it. We're all lucky that we didn't live in this time when every single thing we did went out to the public
immediately,
if not sooner. Find me the person who's totally fine with everything they did during their college years being put on the internet, other than Jones.
Right. Yeah. Woo. That would have been something.
So again, it was a very poor decision, in no way making any kind of excuse for it. But I also don't think they don't owe me an apology. You need to get right with your teammates, which for all we know they have by the time that you're hearing this, and get on with the season. This is not going to be the defining life moment for any of these individuals involved. It's one bad, bad, bad decision that they did in a lifetime that I hope this is the worst thing they ever do. I hope it's the worst mistake they ever make. Because if so, that's going to be a great life.
So let me kind of set up what we're going to do, because what we had planned on doing on the podcast, Adam and I had already talked about the Duke game, and we had already done our stuff post-interview with B-Dot. B-Dot didn't even know he was going to be on such an emotional episode of the Carolina Insider.
Is this a very special episode? Jones and Adam talk about your teenage years.
And so we're still going to run all that. But so if you hear it and we reference, you know, that the Tar Heels something about Miami, or if you think we're too happy or something while we're doing it,
they don't sound sternly disappointed enough.
That's right. Just understand that the show, that part of the show was already done. Adam and I are properly stern right now.
My face looks like the straight mouth emoji guy.
Yeah.
That's how I've looked for the last several hours, and I plan to continue to look that way for at least another 24 hours.
So just keep that in mind. Another thing to keep in mind, Adam. More poignant now than ever. Wear Weight Wash. We're brought to you by, in part, by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, reminding you to practice those three W's. Wear Weight Wash. Adam, this is an important question. What happens with the Wear Weight Wash?
I'm not sure. This is one of the biggest issues we face today.
Does Virginia become weight? Or does the weight just sit there by itself and Virginia stays wash and then it reboots after the wash?
I think this, we may need people to weigh in on this, and we'll decide on Friday's episode exactly how we want to handle this, what discipline we want to handle, hand down to the weight.
Yeah.
It's not weight's fault, but I don't like jumbling up the sequence.
No.
It's not wear, wash, weight. That wouldn't make any sense.
No. Thank you, Blue Cross Blue Shield, resolving to help keep North Carolina stay healthy. Thank you. Okay. Adam, do you have anything else to say before we move on, where we will begin talking about the Duke game and our tone is much jollier?
I don't have anything else to say that I feel like wouldn't prohibit me from ever being on this podcast again.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so we're going to start talking about the Duke game. Then we've got B-Dot. We'll explain who B-Dot is coming up in a little bit.
But if you know, you know.
Adam's got a list. I have a how can you justify that, which let me just go ahead and give you a sneak peek on this. This isn't going to make sense right now until you hear the how can you justify this, that later on in the show. But Adam, we were talking about individuals making poor choices.
Yep.
I just want you to, when you get into that, how can you justify that, understand that I just ate a burrito. And you don't know why that's relevant right now. But trust me, you will then.
I feel like this is like Back to the Future 3, and yeah, we're like shooting 2 and 3 concurrently. And some of the things in 2 don't make sense until
you
see 3.
Wait a second, that's a different actress there.
You're getting on a train in the Wild West.
So you just keep that in the back of your mind when we get there, that I've added to the problems. All right, so we're going to get to Duke discussion, interview with B-Dot, rest of the show coming up on the Carolina Insider. Quick reminder that the show is brought to you by UNC Health, dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds and to help keep you in the game and at your very best. You can see their lineup at UNCHealthcare.com. UNCHealthcare.org/sports. UNCHealthcare.org/sports. So, Adam, let's go back to Saturday night. Oh, what a night. Over in Cameron, as the Tar Heels beat Duke 91-87. And in a lot of ways, it was one of Carolina's better performances of the year, at least offensively, by the numbers. 91 points, the most Carolina scored, 50% in both halves, just the second time that they've done that this season. 28 fast break points for Carolina, 27 fast break points, 28 points off turnovers. It looked like Carolina, because the Tar Heels were running up and down the court. They were getting easy buckets. They were moving the ball, scoring a bunch. Now, Duke was also doing some of those things, and that's why you get a 91-87 final score where both teams shoot above 53% for the game. Caleb Love, of course, individually, the enormous game, 25 points, 7 assists, 5 turnovers. He's the first Tar Heel ever to have 25 points and 7 assists at Duke. He's only the third Tar Heel to ever have that combination of numbers against the Blue Devils. Phil Ford and Charlie Scott did it, but not in Cameron or not in Durham. So, Adam, it was a fun night for the Tar Heels and an impressive offensive performance, certainly, from Carolina. When you go 10 of 15 from three, that helps a lot, too.
Yeah. There was a time earlier this year where we wondered if Carolina would ever break 80, and here they are putting up 91 at Cameron. That's a good offensive performance. It wasn't like Duke turned it over 30 times. It was that Carolina was very efficient with the Duke turnovers they did get. There was one stretch in the first half where every time Duke turned it over, Carolina was getting three, either making a three-pointer or getting fouled and then making the free throw, as they so often do.
Yeah. Well, Adam, I will give the Tar Heels credit for making free throws at the end of the game. They were 4 of 12 at one point from the free throw line, which is bad. But then 9 of their last 10. Baycott hit 4 straight. Leaky Black was 3 of 4. Caleb Love 2 of 2, all in that final stretch. And those were, every one of them was needed.
Yeah, and at critical pressure-packed times, it's hard to stand on that free throw line, whether there's 0 people or 8,000 people yelling at you. It's hard to stand on that free throw line in that situation and make that shot. In some way, it's even tougher with nobody, because all you can hear is yourself thinking about how important they are. But Carolina knocked them down by and large. And I wonder if Duke feels like it found anything sort of by accident with Carolina basically taking Matt Hurt out of the game by putting size on him, and the offense wasn't so Hurt-centric. I thought Duke maybe even looked a little better. I can't imagine. I don't think Mike Krzyzewski's sitting there going, you know what, I think Adam's right.
Yeah.
But I just thought that changed the way they played, because they it wasn't just Matt Hurt shooting jumpers. They were driving to the basket and doing other things. But Carolina did enough of it to beat them.
Yeah, I will. To that point, I do think, just like with the Tar Heels, you know, primarily Love going 4 of 5 from three, you know, Duke shot it better from out there than their season averages have been. You know, particularly, you know, Roach was hit 2 3-pointers. He had not been great from behind the arc this season. Jalen Johnson had made 4 all year. He was 2 of 2. Joey Baker had made 5 all year. He made 3 3-pointers in the game. So, I mean, yes, but I think some guys shot better than the percentages suggest that they have shot for a large majority of the year. But same thing can be said for the Tar Heels, because, again, primarily Love going 4 of 5, that's a huge difference maker. Leaky Black was 1 for 1, but, I mean, Leaky hits a 3 every now and then. Playtech was 1 for 2, but, again, he knocks him in. It was Love that changed it so dramatically. And Adam, he was terrific in this game. And I think not the shooting was the biggest part of it, of course. But I thought until the end, where things got a little shaky as far as taking care of the basketball, I thought he was aggressive. I thought he was confident. And again, making shots will help you be those things. But he just looked, he looked like he was ready for that moment and played accordingly.
It wasn't that he didn't take chances. It was that he took the right chances and not any silly chances. And I thought, watching him play, I was thinking about when we had the opportunity to talk to Marcus Page last week, and he said he didn't really get it until there were 10 games left in his freshman season. Well, that's close to where Caleb Love is right now. So I think it's reasonable to think that he has a better understanding of what he's being asked to do and how he can best accomplish it. And I also thought, and we talked about this some this summer, he did a couple good things defensively. It wasn't just offense. Now, he got beaten backdoor in the final 2 minutes and gave up an easy layup, but he was the one who rotated over on the final Duke gasp when they pretty clearly were just aiming to get fouled, and he was able to make a solid play, not get whistled for a foul. If he's not there, that is a layup. So I thought all around, not just offense but also defense, I thought he just looked more like he understood what was going on and was comfortable with what was being asked of him.
Can we just give a little silent, got lost in the shuffle, what up to Kerwini going 4-of-4 from behind the arc?
At Cameron, his first time ever playing there.
Yeah.
And they were big shots. He hit some big threes. He doesn't ever look flustered by anything. Like, you could set the arena on fire while the Tar Heels are playing, and Muffin Top would just be out there knocking in J's.
I will knock on wood, Adam. 7 of 10 from three-point range in the last two games, 11 of 20 in the last four games for Kerwini, and 46% on the season. Those are good numbers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kerwin Walton is not a great defensive player.
Not yet.
But if you are knocking in threes at that clip,
yeah,
you don't have to be Derek Phelps.
No.
You can get by being Wayne Ellington defensively, and you can do very well. So, just don't ever think about this team without Kerwin Walton, as we talked about off the air over the weekend.
Nah. Why would you even do that?
No. Clearly, everyone knew that would be an indispensable part of the team who would start every game once he moved into the lineup and be completely irreplaceable.
I thought Carolina's big guys, after a subpar first half for the big guys, mostly Bacot and Sharp, because Garrison Brooks was pretty good in the first half, I thought those two were the ones who kind of grabbed the game for Carolina and took it to, it wasn't a back and forth game anymore. Now it was the Tar Heels kind of playing from ahead. And I thought it was Bacot and Sharp who gave them that advantage. They really, in that first two-thirds or so of the second half, those two were really the dominant factors.
And it had been sort of inexplicable as to what was happening to them in the first half, because that was so un-Duke-like to be getting all these offensive rebounds and getting all these second-chance points, and Duke's just bringing guys off the bench who no one has ever seen before. If Carolina had handled its rotation the way Duke did in a Carolina-Duke game, there would have been torches and pitchforks, and people would have said Roy Williams has lost his mind. Billy Packer would have been criticizing Scott Cherry. It was a very unusual mix. And I think that took the Tar Heels by surprise a little.
Well, yeah. I mean, we were talking about Baker, you know, for example, earlier. I mean, he honestly hadn't played that much. He was out there a ton for them. Now, some of it was in foul trouble. And so, obviously, that's going to adjust your rotations. But, yeah, I mean, it was, personnel-wise, it was a very different Duke team than I thought Duke had played with for a large majority of the season. Like, Coleman played a fair amount. Williams played a fair amount. Jamin Brakefield played a decent amount, at least early. He got a real good look at Caleb Love's participation in the game. I didn't think Stewart and I might be totally wrong here. Let me look at the box. Stewart probably played like 35 minutes. He played 23. I didn't think he played as much as he had been playing. I might be wrong. But it just, it wasn't the team necessarily personnel-wise that I thought Carolina was going to see.
Well, and right from the start when Mark Williams goes out there in the starting lineup and Jordan Goldwire doesn't start, they made some different choices. But I think that shows you how important the game was to them, that they felt like they had to pull out every stop they had. And to your point that we originally started talking about, Carolina's players who have been in there the entire season and have had a chance to figure out how to play ACC basketball had a bit of a rough half in the first half, and then in the second half played like they normally play, played much better, and allowed Carolina to take control of the game.
What'd you think about, I mean, now keep in mind, Adam, Tar Heels and everybody have been playing with limited to no fans all season long, but now everyone needed to make a much more larger deal about it in this game. I mean, would it have affected the game? Probably, but it would. I mean, every game this year would have been different everywhere. So I think it's silly that there's been more focus on the fact that your boys and ladies, Adam, the crazies, weren't there. I think it's silly that there's been more emphasis put on that fact by several people.
Well, and I think two things about that. Well, three things about that. One, we have a different perspective because we had the luxury of being inside there. And I think that gives you a different view than if you're watching it on TV. And I'm sure it does seem different if you're watching it on TV because you don't see all the nerds.
And I'm going to guess it was talked about a lot.
Oh,
I'm going to
sure
guess.
Probably in a split screen.
And we love Dan Shulman and Jay Billis, but I'm guessing they talked a lot about it.
So I'm sure that felt different. From inside the building, from an hour before tip on.
Yeah.
There was plenty of intensity in that building.
Yes.
You don't need to worry that anyone wearing a uniform was out there going, this just doesn't feel right.
Right.
Secondly, I think it's not correct to assume that if Duke has their crowd, that brings up Duke but does nothing to Carolina. And I think you saw it kind of in the way the former players talked about it on Twitter. Like, all those people waggling their fingers at them and saying, oh, like, that doesn't demoralize them. That raises them, too.
Yeah.
I think that's...
It takes Ty Lawson to a different level.
Yeah. The spirit fingers bring out a different attitude. And so I just think it's very short-sighted to say, well, that Duke crowd would have been worth 10 points to Duke. Well, maybe so. But I think that raises Carolina as well because you get the enjoyment of it. They're not scary.
No.
They're not wielding knives. You're not worried for your safety. You're wondering why they're touching you. That certainly you're wondering about. But it doesn't affect your play other than college basketball players are competitors. They want to shut those people up. And so that whole thing, I think, has been silly. And I think you can really tell like who understands that it's a basketball game and who thinks it's a TV show. And I think there's more people than you think that think it's a TV show. And I don't remember what the third thing was, but I'm sure it'll come back to me. Oh, the third thing, don't worry. Don't be concerned that it wasn't loud enough in there.
Right.
It was plenty loud. It was jet engine loud. And we had a speaker pointed at us. So I thought perhaps it was just loud where we were. And talking to other people who were not where we were, it was, and Coach Williams mentioned it after the game that he had trouble talking to his team in the timeouts because it was so loud.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't because the other side was shouting. It was because they had their music turned up to simulate a Kiss concert. Because that's as loud as it gets, Jones.
There's one thing that we can all agree on. It doesn't rock any harder than a Kiss concert. In 2021, my friends.
But we've been around the block this year and seen a lot of places. I think that's the loudest place we've been.
The canned music was as loud there as anywhere, yes.
Yes.
All in all, Adam, a very enjoyable win for the Tar Heels.
Don't make them. I saw several people say, oh, Carolina just ended Duke's season. Don't even think that for a second.
I mean, Duke's record is not very good right now. They look better to me than they did earlier in the year for sure.
Yes.
I mean, they're getting better just like Carolina is. I mean, just like you would expect them to. Mike Krzyzewski is a good coach. We all know this. They're getting better. Now, like I said about Carolina, did they win enough when they weren't very good to keep their head above water? Plus, they voluntarily canceled some games? I don't know that answer, but they're definitely better now than they were 6 weeks ago.
I don't know the games they canceled, but I bet you Henry Coleman would have been better against Carolina if he had played against team X, Y, and Z that they didn't play.
Right.
But that's a decision they made that they felt like was right, and I'm sure they're proud of it. But I do think it has affected their season, and now they're going to play the rest of the season. Only one of two things is going to happen. They go in the tank, which I don't think will happen, and they'll come to Chapel Hill with that being the one thing they could possibly feel good about this year. Or two, they start playing better. I think that's the more likely scenario. And that game in Chapel Hill still carries some value. And
sure.
So don't think, oh, the Tar Heels just eliminated Duke from the NCAA tournament. No, they didn't.
Adam, anything else from Saturday night over in Durham?
That was a fun one.
It really was. I mean, it's never bad to win there. This one did feel extra good for some reason. I don't know. It was good. And here's another thing. I'm tired of people saying, oh, why did the Tar Heels get so excited when they, you know, Duke's not any good. It's so lame that they got so excited. If you feel that way, then you don't get it. Go away. You don't get it. Did Duke celebrate last year when they beat the Tar Heels who were under 500? Was it lame then?
No, then it showed a lot of heart.
Right. So, yeah, I enjoyed that. Okay, Adam, as the social media world knows, we've got a lot of good guests that we have in the queue right now, that we have stacked up. And that includes who we're going to today. I don't even know his real name, Adam. It's B-Dot.
He doesn't need a real name.
It's B-Dot.
His name is B-Dot.
Big-time Tar Heel fan. He's the crazy Carolina hat guy. That's gonna spur some of those juices for you. And media personality on the radio. He does a bunch of different podcasts and shows and just different stuff. Big personality, as you're going to hear in just a second. And had a bunch of fun talking to him. And Adam, I thought it was kind of cool to get it from a different perspective. Because I think B-Dot, it very much, first and foremost, is a Tar Heel fan. And so I think you get you get that angle with this conversation.
We know B-Dot's real name is Brian McLaughlin, but to us, he's B-Dot. And he promised that he would teach us how to raise the roof.
Yeah. Yeah, there is an intersection in this interview between Adam's old manness and B-Dot's hipness. That's good. Good times. So we're going to get to that. Then come back, and Adam has a list. I have a how can you justify that, and a lot more. Still to come here on the Carolina Insider.
Our guest today, there are going to be some people who know that his qualifications to be on this podcast are that he's B-Dot. You know him from 102 Jams. You know him from 3 Live Crew. You know him. You know him. I know him as, I have seen this guy at games, and I have said to my wife, I think it'd be cool to watch a game with that guy. That guy looks like he has fun at the games. And for that reason, here he is on the Carolina Insider podcast, as close as we could get to watching a game with B-Dot. Thanks so much for giving us some time.
Man, you guys have no clue how pumped I am to be here, dude. I super appreciate it. Big fans of both of you guys, man. And I'm just happy that my fandom can get me a seat at the table. Appreciate you guys, man, for real.
So tell us about your fandom. How did you come to love the Tar Heels?
I guess it was just a guy who always enjoyed athletics, but was never athletic enough to actually participate. So I was always the guy who gave everything he had on the floor, you know, at practice, but I never made games, football or basketball. So I have an extensive knowledge of sports, but I don't have a lot of playing time. But from that perspective, just growing up loving sports, you know, growing up in Greensboro, you there's a line drawn in the sand. It's the two shades of blue, you know, and you root for one or the other. And I grew up the Carolina blue, the blue that God had favored, the blue that, you know, is the color of the sky, you know, the blue that is, you know, used for you know, when you're trying to decide if you're going to have a boy or a girl, like the beautiful blue, the Tar Heel blue, man. And from there, you know, being from high school up through college, just, you know, just rolling with the squad and just being a super, super fan. I was fortunate enough to have a couple of guys from Greensboro that actually, of course, played at Carolina with, you know, PJ Harrison, Will Graves, you know, so I was fortunate enough to get to go to a couple of games on the strength of those guys. And Bryce Johnson hooked me up with tickets once. And so I would be very spoiled because the tickets that I would get would always be player tickets. So I would be sitting right behind the bench. So just, you know, being that guy and just being always being a super, super fan of whoever I'm supporting. Like in high school, my senior superlative was most school spirited. And I mean, like, you know, when I'm passionate about something, you know, it shows. And I'm just a super passionate Tar Heel fan, man. And I don't mind getting loud at games. And even though the fans a lot of times try to make me sit down, and I try to tell them, like, I don't sit down at the house, so I'm definitely not going to sit down in the Dean Dome. That ain't happening, Jack.
So, Beta, how did you get into the media world? Because as Adam referenced, you do a whole bunch of different things. How did you get into that world?
Well, it started, honestly, you know, I'm a graduate of Winston-Salem State University. And at Winston-Salem State, I had to complete an internship. So I interned at 102 Jams, and that was, you know, my senior year in college. And from there, that's how I got in radio. And I, you know, growing up, I never, ever saw myself in radio. I just always knew that I wanted to be entertaining. I wanted to entertain on a national level. And so that profession sort of found me. But it was just awesome just being an intern. They couldn't get me out of the building. Like, I was always there. So I got on the morning show as the funny guy on the morning show. I was there for about 10 years. And then for the past 7 years, I've been blessed enough to have my own morning show, the 3 Live Crew. So from that perspective, when I was the funny guy on the morning show, I used to handle the sports. So, of course, I'm going to always magnify the Tar Heels as much as possible. You know, so, you know, I started in 04. So 05. We went a natty. So, of course, I'm on Franklin Street. I'm getting audio and sending it back. And 09, we went a natty. So, of course, I'm getting audio and I'm sending it. So through those type of situations, that's sort of bridged the love from Carolina to radio. But over the past couple of years, like, I've really just wanted to do a lot more with sports radio. And I was fortunate enough to, you know, be good friends with Vashti over at Carolina Blitz. And she had given me access to go with her to the ACC Media Day a couple years ago. And it was so awesome. It was my first time ever going. I got to sit there and talk with Roy and Garrison and B-Rob, and it was just so dope. But one guy that I met who I was also a fan of was Josh Graham. And I would listen to his show, Sports Radio, you know, when I was just in the car and stuff. And when I met him, I was like, yo, man, you are so cool. And he was so dorky, and I said, you're just as dorky in real life as you are on the radio, Josh. This is amazing. So we just sort of vibed off of that, and he invited me to his show, and I've been on his show for the past 18 months, once a week, just doing grammar school and talking Tar Heel. And he actually gave me the name the unofficial mascot of Tar Heel basketball, just because he always saw how passionate I was. And I just sort of stuck with that, and now we're here, man. Like, it's just, you know, it's honestly, Jones and Adam, it's just me just being me, like, just again, just having fun with the things that I like to have fun with. And I seem to sort of be able to gravitate towards success in those things. So, like, with the Tar Heels, you know, just being able to have the Hills House, and honestly being on you all's platform to talk to Jones and Adam, like, I said this before, man, like, I really, really, really am a super fan of you guys. Like, I go to the GoHeels.com, and I'm checking out stats and stuff to talk about on the air from time to time. So, yes, Adam, I've stolen a lot of your material and have not given you any credit. I apologize. But I do love
that's okay. Only half of it was right anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Only half of Adam's stuff's right. Hey, B-Dot, so now you got to be honest with this. You got to be honest. Have you ever cried reading one of Adam's post-game columns on GoHeels.com? Has he ever made you cry?
He has not made me cry, but he does. Like, sometimes I'll see stats and I'm like, gosh, man, like, they're, you know, the most recent stat that I remember, honestly, I love the stats, but I also love stuff that you would only know if you had keen insight from you all's perspective. And most recently, the game against Wake Forest, the game against Wake Forest, Caleb Love dunks and raises the roof. I, as a fan, was so excited about that. Like, I mean, I literally jumped like, yes, show some aggression and some attitude and some swag. I appreciate that, Caleb. But then I read Adam's takeaways from the game, and he says Caleb Love will probably get reprimanded for less of better words. Will get more film study because coach would rather him, instead of raising the roof, calling the next defensive set. And on the next dunk he got, he put the fist up to call man-to-man defense, and that was a smart move by the freshman. And it just struck something with me, like, dang, so Roy be on it like that? Like, Roy don't let the boys celebrate at all? Like, and like, it's those type things. So, like, I honestly, you know, I love the stats. I love knowing, you know, how many free throws everybody shot, et cetera, but the more things like that y'all give behind the scene on, like, those are the things that I love as a fan, man.
Okay. Now, I have an important question that you just mentioned. Is Raise the Roof back? Like, can we do that and look cool? Because when Caleb Love does it, it looks real cool, but I remember it from, like, 25 years ago. So is it back?
Well, no. 25 years ago, Raise the Roof was the equivalent to It's Lit. Like, if you were lit somewhere, you raised the roof.
Okay. Now, yeah, that's why I did it then.
Yeah, Adam, if you raise the roof right now, you definitely look 76 years old. You don't want to raise the roof. You only get to raise the roof and head tap if you dunk on somebody.
Oh.
If you notice, he dunked, and that's when he raised the roof. That's sort of their thing. My son plays basketball. He's nowhere near dunking, but, you know, like, those are certain things. You might see him rock the baby or put their hand down to the floor. That's saying that the person guarding him is entirely too small, or he's a baby. So when you dunk, raising the roof is a celebratory, is a celebration regarding your dunk.
I can already tell we might need B-Dot to be like our correspondent on how to stay up to what's happening and be semi-cool.
Well, I got to tell you, B-Dot, there have been a couple times I've been in the crowd and the Tar Heels have dunked, and I've thought about head tapping because I see the cool people doing that. I'm like, you know what? I could do that and make it look good, but now it sounds like perhaps I should pass on that.
Yeah.
You want to go viral?
Not in a bad way.
If you want to go viral, next time somebody dunk, you just go crazy head tapping. A camera's going to follow you, and you're going to be a gift next week.
Okay, B-Dot, we've done some research and gotten some questions to ask you. I'm supposed to ask you about a bet you had with Garrison Brooks last year that had you doing push-ups every time Garrison dunked. Is that correct?
It was amazing. It was an amazing dunk, and I wish our season would have been much more successful so that we could have had more fun with it. Like, when I tried to revisit it this year, Garrison was like, nah, I'm going to just chill on that. We just want to get some wins this year, Doc. And I totally understood it. At the ACC Media Day, I was telling you guys about, you know, I just told Garrison, I was like, Garrison, I need you aggressive. You know, I need you dunking everything. I'm sick of your 6'11 self laying the ball up. It drives me crazy. You're entirely too big for that foolishness. I need dunks. Matter of fact, let's make a bet. Every time you get a layup when you could have dunked, I'll do a – no, you owe me a push-up. Every time you dunk, I will give you a push-up, and we will video record them and put them on IG Live, I mean, on our IG story. And we did it a couple of times. Like, there were about three games last season where, you know, Garrison will be on his IG. He was like, I had three layups. Here go my three push-ups, Doc. And then I would say, yo, you had two dunks, though. Here go my two push-ups. And we were just having fun with it, man. Like, luckily for me, I have a different reputation with the boys because, again, I work at a hip-hop station. You know, I'm on Wild and Out. I'm a national comedian. So these guys see me. And, you know, like, a lot of times, like, especially the older players, none of this new regime, but a lot of the old players, whenever they would come to Greensboro, if I was having a party or something, of course I would have them celebrity status in the clubs and stuff. So from that perspective, my relationship as a media person is different because they don't really view me as a media person. They view me as the homie. Like when I'm in the when I'm in there and I'm going to ask a question, they're like, oh God, Doc, what is you about to say? Because they just know that I'm a comedian, I'm silly, but I'm also a super passionate fan that's going to keep it 100 every time I talk to them. You know, like if they're playing great, I'm going to let them know they're playing great and I love it. And if they're playing like some simps, I'm going to mention that too. I'm going to try to be respectful of the fact that they are people, you know, but at the end of the day, you're a Tar Heel, man. And I'm a Tar Heel fan. And it is our is my job to speak for Tar Heel Nation and let you know you're playing like a simp.
I consider Adam a homie. I think, Adam, you have reached homie status.
I'm like a half homie.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
that would make me something that I probably don't want to say on the air. So I can't be that.
Hold on. You said Adam was a what?
I think I think he's reached half. He says he's reached half homie status.
Half Kobe?
Homie.
Oh, homie. Wait, I'm missing something. There's a disconnect. You got to educate me. What's a homie?
No, homie. You just said you were their homie.
Homie status. Homie. Oh. For sure. No. You just got to hang with the white people. Don't trip. Hey, Adam, I got you. I'm going to let them know. Like, yo, when y'all see Adam, he head taps. He's the homie.
Yeah, that's right. And then I think they're just going to look up at me the next time that Garrison throws one down. Yeah. He's going to look up at me, and I'm going to be raising the roof, and he's going to raise the roof. Yeah. We'll be on the same page.
Yeah, everything's
exactly,
fine.
Exactly, bro. Exactly. And they're going to get back to the huddle, and they're going to say, yo, did you see the white guy over there that was head tapping? Yo, he is lit.
Now, wait a second, Beta. How do you know Adam's white?
Bro, I mean, did you see the guy over there head tapping?
I
follow you guys on social media, man.
I felt like somehow you had seen me when you the way you said media person. Like, that kind of sounded like me.
No, I say that because, like, honestly, Josh fusses at me a lot because if we're in the same room, Josh, especially when Josh and I first started kicking, he'd just be like, you know, they just gravitate towards you. And I tell him, like, because, again, my situation is different. Like, the way they talk to what they consider media, like, they hold back because they don't want their words to get manipulated.
Sure.
Versus when they're talking to me, I have a trust level with them. Again, like Caleb and those guys, I've never met Caleb, but I'm sure he knows who I am because Garrison is my homie and B-Rob and K-Dub and Theo Pinson and Joel Berry. So like each year, the upperclassmen are telling the freshmen, oh yeah, that dude right there, Dot, like he loves us, dog. He's crazy. So as it goes on from year to year, they know who I am. So when I step up in there, like last year when I would go and I'll talk to Cole, like he knew who I was. And so it would be dope to have that type of interaction with him. Like it's conflicting with me though, guys, because I envy what you all get to do. Like I envy you all at the press conferences and I envy you all getting to ask the questions and be in the locker room, et cetera, et cetera. And then there are media persons that envy my relationship with players. So it's like one of those grass is greener.
Well, and I think what you said is exactly right. I think there are times that student athletes will hold back what they say to us. I think we're maybe slightly different. I think they're 5% more open with us because they know in the end we're with the Tar Heels and so are they, and so that's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But what do you think, what could we do to make folks feel a little more, is there anything we could do to make them feel more comfortable and more willing to open up and talk to us like they're talking to B-Dot?
Honestly, I really don't know. Like, again, and it's all on relationships. You know, a lot of these guys trust me because I have relationships with them and not just Tar Heels, like Amir Sims. That's a good friend of mine, but I know him just from the ACC tournament and just, you know, just him talking, like going to Carolina games and talking junk to him. And, you know, those types of relationships that I've built because of my personality. Everybody doesn't have that type of personality, but everybody does have a personality that's welcoming and friendly. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, this is my first time speaking to you gentlemen, but it's super cool. Like when I see you all and there's no more coronavirus and we can dap and hug again, like I'm going to embrace with you guys. Like, because to me, y'all are super cool. Like y'all didn't have to reach out to me and ask me to come on you all's platform. This platform is certified. You know, this is the biggest podcast as far as Carolina sports is concerned. So you already have your platform. So to ask me to come on to help enhance what you all have already laid down a foundation for, I'm extremely appreciative. So it's these types of relationships so that when I go somewhere and I'm talking and your name comes up, whether it's Adam Lucas or Jones Angel, I can vouch. Like, oh, yeah, Jones and Adam, yo, those are my homies. Yeah, no, I rock with them. So it's really that type thing. Not saying that you all need me to vouch for you, but I feel like sometimes it's not bad to have a liaison. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody that can just vouch for you in certain settings or arenas that, you know, you may not be the most popular in.
All right, I am supposed to ask you about when you appeared on the TV show Maury.
who have y'all been talking to?
We can't reveal our sources, B-Dot.
Yo, oh, you see, that's what I mean. Maury Povich. Maury was hilarious. A homegirl of mine from Winston-Salem State. She knew a producer at Maury, and she calls me one day. And mind you, I was in a relationship with my now wife. She wasn't at the time, but her name was Candy, my homie from Winston-Salem State. And she comes to me, and she calls me one day, and she's like, yo, do you think Carla, who's my lady, do you think Carla would let you go on Maury Povich and tell the world that you have a crush on me? And I'm like, what? And she's like, do you think your lady will let you do that? They're going to pay you $1,000. They're going to fly you up to New York. They're going to put us in a hotel, and they're going to take care of everything. Do you think she'll let you do it? I was like, for $1,000. She was like, yeah. I was like, all right, let me ask the lady. So I asked Carla, do you mind if I go to Maury? And she's like, absolutely not. Go make the money. I said, heck yeah, that is super dope. So we went up to Maury, man, and I went up there, and my thing was, I've been in college with Candy for years, and she was in the band, and I was the band director. No, not the band director, but I used to do PA for the band. That's how I got started in PA. I started doing PA for the band at Winston-Salem State. That was all facts. And she was with the Scarlet Lace, the dance group. And my story was, you know, I would be up there doing the PA, but I couldn't keep my eyes off Candy. She was so gorgeous, but she didn't want me because I was a nerd. And I dressed ridiculous. So it was like one of those geek to chic moments. And then I came out and Candy thought I was so cool. And she agreed to go out with me and all this. And it was all BS. It was just a biggest crock. But it was super fun. It was my first time ever being on television. So I was super, super stoked about it. And you know, like, It was a very fun experience, Maury Povich. Nobody had to run to the back screaming, he's not the father. He did not have one of those episodes. No. This was just Crush, Geek the Chic. So, but the thing about Geek the Chic was, when I went up there, they told me, because I was a fairly swaggy dude. So I get up there and I'm like, dang, when this airs on television, everybody who really knows me is going to know his cap. Like, they're going to know, no way did Doc doesn't even dress like that. That's not real, but... So I go up here and they give me these clothes and I have to make them look geeky. Like, I have to roll the pants up like high waters and wear a shirt that was ridiculous. It was horrible. And the clothes that they put me in to go to Chic in looked just as bad as the geeky clothes. Like, it was horrible. It was horrible, man. But it was a very fun experience. And yo, I'm going to find out y'all sources and I'm knocking off their knees. I'm telling you, I don't know who y'all are talking to. Talking to my mother? Who are you talking to, Jones?
I think every guy at some point has wondered, what is the amount of money that would cause him to ask his lady if it's okay if he went to New York and claimed to be secretly in love with someone else? Like, for $250, you wouldn't have done that, would you?
No. It had to be ETG. Yeah. Extra Thousand Gang.
Yeah, once you got to the fourth digit, then it was worth considering. It was like, okay, absolutely. now we can at least talk about it.
You should have saw the way I asked too, man. Like, I asked like I was asking to spend all of our savings. Like, listen, you don't have to say yes. Just hear me out.
Just listen to me now. Just don't say no before I finish.
You know who I love. It's not real.
I've already got $800 of this $1,000 earmarked for whatever you want, sugar.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. We can use it for whatever you want. And trust and believe, when I got back, I used it all on me.
All right, I got one more for you, B-Dot. I got one more. I'm supposed to ask you about the time you coached Coby White before he arrived in Chapel Hill.
Yeah. I tried to reach out to Coach Roy and let him know that, you know, if he needed to know any of Coby's strengths or weaknesses, I would be there for him. But my emails were never responded to. But that's neither here nor there. I know Coach Roy is very, very busy. The year before Coby White became a Tar Heel, or played as a Tar Heel, here in Greensboro, we had a player by the name of Josh Level. And Josh Level was a phenomenal basketball player. He was actually going to play at Carolina. And he lost his life on the basketball court. I don't know exactly what the situation was, but it was heart-related, and we lost Josh Level. So a lot of his friends from that time started a Josh Level Classic. So every year, the top high school players in North Carolina come participate in the Josh Level Classic. This particular year, it was Coby White on my team. And this was the first year they allowed me to coach. But it was Coby White. Joey Baker was on my team. I would like to say Davian Williamson, that actually plays for Wake now, might have been, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Don't quote me. But we were playing against Wendell Moore, the Langley twins that now play at UNCG. And it was awesome because Coby Langley and Coby White went at it for like maybe four series in a row, like back to back. Like Coby White would come down and score, Coby Langley would come score. Coby White, Coby Langley, Coby. And I'm talking about they were just like ISO, like everybody get out the way. We want to play. And it was just phenomenal. And I remember subbing Coby White. I brought Coby White. I was like, yo, get you a breather. Put you back in. When I brought him out, they might have scored two baskets on us. And Coby came over there. He was like, yo, let me go back in. Let me go. And I was like, you know, you sure? I just want to give you a breather. And he looked at me in the most condescending look I've ever had by somebody that was younger than me. And he said, dude, I play basketball. And I said, well, go back in, bro. And I didn't take him out. And he scored 44 points, Jones. I swear to you, 44 points in that MVP game. I mean, in that All-Star game. 44. And it was the highest points ever in the history of the Josh Level Classic. And it was so shocking because you saw him dropping buckets, but you did not see 44 points. Like, you just didn't see it. And I was like, for him to be able to score at such a clip like that, man, like, we have something special coming in next year. And that's why I was really, really high on that Coby Nas team, man. Like, I really felt like that team, at the very least, should have made the Final Four. That team was strong, man. And once they all got it together and Coby figured out how he could get his shots off, and you got Cam and Luke and Nas coming off the bench, like, that squad was that squad I put up there with that Kendall Marshall team. Those teams that should have gotten rings, but just something just couldn't work with it. But yeah. Yes, I did coach Coby before Coach Williams. I am undefeated coaching Coby, and Coach Williams can't say that. Let's go, baby.
People forget, Adam. Auburn made, 19 three-pointers in that game in the Sweet 16. And the Tar Heels had the flu. Remember? Both Nas and Cam Johnson had the flu.
Yes. Yes.
Brutal.
Like, if those two horrible, clearly Duke-made stars don't align perfectly, we are in the Final Four, man. And we are, I'm telling you, we're competing for a national championship that year. That team was strong.
Well, those are terrible memories that I don't want to think about anymore. So I got an important question for you. Where did you get that hat that you wear to the games?
Yo, that hat has followed me. I'm talking about, I may have gotten this hat.
Oh, B-Dot has the hat.
Oh, he's got it with him.
Yeah, he's got it with him.
I can't see.
Only I can see B-Dot.
Jones doesn't give me access to the video.
Listen, what I wore today, because this is a very special day for me. I know you guys,
B-Dot's got the hat on, by the way. He's just put it on. Yeah, looks good.
But see, this is what I wore just for you all today. Can you check this out? Do you see this?
Oh, yeah. A little March Madness, Tar Heels. Love it.
National champions. What year is that?
That says 2019, B-Dot.
I'm the only person in the world that's got one. That's amazing. That's amazing. National champions, 2019. I got the shirt.
In our hearts and on B-Dot's shirt. All right, I distracted us. Tell us about the hat. Where'd you give the hat?
Sorry. I got distracted trying to show off my clothes, and the camera's not even on. Nevertheless, the hat I purchased actually at the Dean Dome. I was at the Dean Dome for a game, and I was walking around, and I wanted something to represent with, and I bought this hat. And I sat down there, and I think I made the News and Observer that night for wearing the hat. And I said, I'm going to take this hat everywhere I go. And I would be in the I remember the ACC tournament came to the Greensboro Coliseum, and I had lower level seats. and I had the hat on and I was raising my son up, and that picture went viral. Like, that picture is all over the internet. People use that all the freaking time. Like, and so then one day I was in a Walmart, and I just happened to go at this Walmart. I think I was at Myrtle Beach, and they had a section for Carolina and other teams that wear blue. And in the section, they had these hats, and they only had like three left. So I bought those three just so I could have them, because the one I had, like, it's one that I've had honestly since the national championship 05 season. And that one has been through its share of wreckage. So I got like two more that I wear. I toss back and forth. Then I got one that I still have not worn yet. Ooh. I'm just going to wait for like another national championship to wear it.
Like it.
So
that's a pro move, by the way, to have backup hats.
To have inventory.
B-Dot knows what his brand is, and so he's got to make sure that the brand always stays strong.
Well, and I know that I know people can't see the hat on the audio pod, but it's like a Ramesses head.
Yeah.
And so,
well, B-Dot, will you send us a picture of you in the hat, and so that we can tweet it out when you're on?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
I'll definitely do that. No problem.
Now, so you've mentioned national championship. So this is not a giant problem to have. But Jones and I never get to be on Franklin Street when the Tar Heels win a national title because hashtag blessed, we're at the games. So, but you said that you have been on Franklin Street when the Tar Heels win national titles. What is that like?
Oh, man. Pandemonium. It's pandemonium. The cops are just sitting there watching us tear Franklin Street down post by post. And they don't care. You know why? Because most of them are Tar Heel fans. So they turn a blind eye. They don't let you get physical and violent. But, oh, man, they let us have fun out there, man. I'm talking about bonfires, streaking. People. I saw people out there dressed like the Ninja Turtles and Mario and Luigi. Like, it's crazy. It is Babylon. Babylon on Franklin Street. As far as you can go. They're blocking off the roads. Like, it's one of those things you have to time very well, too, because – you know, they start cutting off the roads and they're cutting off access depending on how many people get down there. I remember 2005, I think they said maybe 40, 50,000 people were there, some ridiculous number. Like, it was unreal. Like, and I just, you know, you just, everybody's happy. Like, everybody's just happy and screaming and just drunk out of their mind or whatever refreshments they like to partake in. It's just beautiful. And it's just blue everywhere. And you see your old head Tar Heel fans, folks has got the jackets with the championship years.
Raising the roof. They're probably raising the roof out there, B-Dot, those old heads.
Nobody's dunking, and they're raising the roof. You know what's going on. Screaming, whoop, there it is. It's ridiculous, I'm telling you. But at that point, age does not matter because we're all Tar Heels. And I'm telling you, I experienced it in 05. I experienced it in 09, and I was so angry that I did not experience the redemption year. I don't know exactly why. I was in the Heels house the other night talking to B-Rob and K-Dub, and I was telling them, I don't know why I didn't go to Franklin Street. Clearly, I either had to be out of town at a gig or something. Something. There's no way I was in North Carolina and didn't go to Chapel Hill or Franklin Street after a national championship. That don't happen.
All right, B-Dot, before we let you go, and this might be a hard question to answer, how do you define being a Tar Heel fan? Like, what does it mean to you to be a Carolina fan, a Carolina basketball fan?
You know, I think there are different levels, because I think that people who went to Carolina that are Carolina fans are a different fan than people that never went to Carolina. I think people that never went to Carolina, and I could be wrong, and if there's anybody listening that would like to challenge me, please hit me up on any social media and let me know your stance. But I really feel like people that did not go to Carolina are sometimes bigger fans than people who did go to Carolina. And I say that because that's our only tie. Like, as someone who did not go to Carolina, my only connection is athletics. My only connection is basketball. And now, you know, I'm really enjoying what we're doing with the football team now that we got Coach back. But basketball, like, we're very, very, very spoiled. We are a spoiled bunch. But it's because we've been to the mountaintop. You know, in the words of the great Dr. Martin Luther King, we've been to the mountaintop. We've seen it so many times. So that we have seasons like last year, God forbid, we don't know how to handle ourselves. We don't know how to lose 19 games. We haven't done that since the early 2000s, or maybe the 2010, maybe. I don't remember how bad we did that year, but I know early 2000s. Like, so, you know, as a fan, like, we're super passionate. Again, we're super spoiled. We love talking trash to Duke fans. Like, a Duke loss, the only thing that might be better than a Carolina win is a Duke loss. We don't pay NC State any attention. And the fact that they get upset because we don't pay them attention makes us even more happy. And we pay them even less attention. And, you know, I don't know, man. Like, it's honestly, as far as I'm concerned, it's a privilege being a Tar Heel fan. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, every 3 or 4 years, we're in contention for a national championship. Our pedigree is solid. Our players are players that you fall in love with. Our players are players that are respected. Our coach is highly respected. You know, arguably, you know, second best coach coaching right now, you know, behind the great, you know, I give Coach K his props because he's the winningest coach. But, you know, Roy Williams is, you know, what he did at Kansas, then came here to Carolina. Like, I just love that dude, man. I just love everything about our program, man. I love the colors. I love the lineage and the history from, you know, the Fields to the all the way up to the now to the Colt, I mean, to the Calebs, man. Like, I just love Carolina basketball, and I'm just super passionate about it. And most fans are, you know what I'm saying? Most fans, and I'm the type of fan, Jones, that when I'm out in public, if I see somebody with another team's uniform, a team's jersey on, I instantly talk trash. Like, I'm that guy, but I'm doing it in a fun way that, you know, the whoever I'm talking to, they look back and, oh man, whatever. The only time I didn't do that again was last year. I got to a point where, you know, I just put the hat in the closet and just said, I'll see you next season.
We appreciate B-Dot's time. Had a good time talking with him. Hope you enjoyed it as well. Carolina Insider brought to you in part by LS Tractor. Don't let your outside chores or projects cause you to miss any Tar Heel game action. Just let LS Tractor help make short work of them. That's normal yard maintenance to larger projects as well. LS Tractor has the machine for you. You can visit lstractorusa.com to see the difference. LS Tractor, what is it about for you? Adam, I know you have a list, but I would like to start, Adam, with the how can you justify that?
I do not have to justify!
How can you justify what you've done?
How can you possibly justify that?
And Adam, I am handing this how can you justify that to myself.
Oh.
Yeah. Self-inflicted wound here.
Is this about raspberries?
No, it isn't.
Okay.
Although I have enjoyed a couple of different folks reaching out with their opinion about the raspberries, including Iron Mike. He said, Jones, I'm a police officer and just listened to your pod story about the raspberries and sent me a gif of Kanye West looking very disappointed. Then he followed it up, which actually some helpful information here.
Yes.
He said, this is at Iron Mike, probably Mike Tyson.
Yes.
He said he's a law enforcement officer who works security at a grocery store as a side gig. He says the stores definitely want you to have 20 items or less, and if your cart is full and you're going through the self-scan, they think you're trying to steal, and they watch you closer than normal on the handheld scanner.
What that tells me is I've been watched very closely at the handheld scanner on multiple occasions.
Yeah, they're locking in on you. They're like, please, sir, watch it. Everyone, please watch this young man.
That gentleman in the sweater vest looks suspicious.
Yeah.
I'm going to need more eyes on aisle two.
Adam, by the way, we also got a bunch of good stuff as far as homemade Tar Heel things, crafts.
Is that the how can you justify that?
No. Is that on your list?
Well, yes. And I was just going to tell people, we're going to put all those on the video pod on Thursday because most of them, well, all of them, are of the type that would be better if you could see them because there's some really cool stuff. One thing I learned by reading our tweets and emails is there are many more talented people who listen to the pod than who are actually hosting the pod.
Yeah, yeah.
So some really cool stuff people have painted and cross-stitched and built and all sorts of stuff.
Before the Duke game, I got a text from Brian Bursticker, former Tar Heel, who's been on the pod.
Yes.
I'm Brian Bursticker. See you later, Big Grits.
And Stick said that he has the mini Lego Smith Center and that it was difficult to put together.
So has he built it?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, one more thing about the raspberries. Casey Sturgill sent us. He said he tweeted this actually to Adam and then put the prayer hands up and said, prayer hands for Jones and his struggle with kleptomania. Hashtag them raspberries had legs. Well, let me just say those raspberries are delicious. I had some this morning for breakfast. They were a healthy and delicious treat.
You're going to see Jones at your local, probably Harris Teeter,
yeah,
proud sponsor of the pod.
That's right.
Walking back some raspberries to the customer service window with a guilty look on his face.
Yep. Bobby Casey said he has the little tiny Lego Smith Center, too. He called it the FOCO. F-O-C-O. Is that a different brand?
I think that's an offshoot of, like, it's a different form of Lego.
Yeah. He said the pieces are smaller and the instructions are vague. That's why it's the offshoot.
That's a bad combination when you're building something.
He said the pieces come mixed up and in no specific order. It took him almost 20 hours to build it. So it sounds like if you make this thing that you've done, you've made it happen.
20 hours to build a baby Smith Center.
Yeah. And I need my instructions.
Oh, yeah.
So, how can you justify that, Adam? I don't know if you know this, but the Super Bowl was Sunday night.
Right.
And, Adam, I made a big mistake during the Super Bowl that I'm still paying for. I went all in on the snacks. And, I mean, I had cheese dip. I had bean dip. I had ribs. I had all kinds of stuff to the point that when I was lying in bed before I went to bed on Sunday night, I was like, I can already feel the sodium problems that I'm going to have tomorrow. You know how, Adam, as you get a little older, like I can feel it if I've had too much salt, right? Like get a little puffy. So I had already made the bad choice, but I can at least explain it away that it's the Super Bowl. I've got all these delicious treats. Here's where the real how can you justify that comes in, Adam. The next day, Monday, I'm getting ready to leave late morning-ish to come here to Podworld headquarters for a full day of action. And my wife's like, hey, before you go, would you like some more of those snacks from last night for lunch? And I was like, I was planning on going to get a salad or a sensible sandwich, but instead, yes, I will have more. So I doubled down, Adam. Doubled down on the sodium. Like my wedding ring, yeah, I can still move it around, but a little puffy. Feeling a little puffy today.
The Super Bowl comes just once a year.
Yeah. I feel like the Stay Puff Marshmallow Man today. Like I'm like walking around, blah, blah, blah. That's how I feel. That's an audio version of how I feel. Blah, blah,
blah. But on the bright side, another way to look at this, Jones, is you had delicious snacks for the Super Bowl.
I did. We had a cornucopia.
It was like Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Bountiful deliciousness.
TJ Logan?
Yeah.
On the injured reserve for the Bucks, but he will get a Super Bowl ring.
Gets a ring.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. Game not that exciting. Not very exciting.
It really wasn't. It was kind of disappointing. What'd you think of any good commercials that stood out to you?
No.
I liked Bruce Springsteen and Jeep.
I did kind of like the one with Shaggy where
wasn't me.
Yeah. And old
Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, and it's like Mad Libs.
Mila Kunis.
Kunis. And she had the Cheetos, right?
Yeah.
And so it was obvious she had been eating the Cheetos, but said it wasn't me. And Ashton Kutcher, being the loving partner that he is, accepted that.
Yep.
But then Shaggy goes, wow, that's never worked before. Yep. I thought that one was funny.
How many
I thought they were really playing hard to the 90s on these commercials this year.
Big time. How many younger people, for example, knew that was Shaggy?
Yeah.
Or B, knew anything whatsoever about Wayne's World?
And let's put an asterisk, that may not have been Shaggy.
That's entirely possible.
I just assumed that it was, since he was singing It Wasn't Me.
I thought another sneaky good one was Will Ferrell in Norway. That was funny. That was funny. I like that.
I didn't pay as much attention this year to the
commercial. Well, you were eating.
Yeah. Beavis and Butthead was there. I saw that.
Yeah, they were on a mountain.
Yeah. See? It was impactful.
Yeah. Clearly, I'll be buying these products.
Yeah. So, all in all, Adam, look for me eating salads the rest of the week. Okay. I got to even this out.
All right.
Got to even out my puffiness.
Are all the snacks gone?
Oh, no. No, Adam, they're not. That's the trouble. And, I mean, as you know, we had to pot after dark here. As you're listening to this, it's, you know, the die's already been cast, but who knows what's going to happen when I get home late. I hope I don't have another relapse to the salty goodness.
Well, the problem is all good sense goes out the window when it's 2 a.m. and you just get home and no one else is awake and you have only yourself to answer to.
I'm like, look, should I shovel 15 chips worth of this dip into my mouth? Yeah, sure. Why not?
Well, it feels like it doesn't count.
It feels so good.
and you're tired, but you're kind of pleased with yourself because you've done some hard work in the salt mines. And then you it's as though it's in another space and time.
Yeah. Yeah, that shouldn't count.
Right.
You're right.
In the normal part of the day, you made wise choices. So, you know, sometimes this applies to real life. In the normal part of the day, you made wise choices. When the sun goes down and Mr. Moon comes up, sometimes decisions are questionable.
Yeah, your sense just leaves you.
Yeah.
Well, Adam, one thing I know makes a lot of sense. That's your list.
What's on the top of Adam's list? Brought to you by Top of the Hill, where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
Well, we can't talk about the raspberries anymore, but we can talk about Andrew Blate. He's on the road to the 100% Pod Club.
Mm.
He just listened to the PSA, which I had forgotten about,
from
the November 3rd, 2017 pod with Joel Berry, a hero, says Andrew.
Yeah.
He loved it, and he thinks maybe there should be a 2021 updated version.
Yeah, that was good. Pod PSA.
November 3rd, 2017.
That was a good one.
That was 4 years ago, almost. Maybe it is time for a new one. Maybe that's a summer project. More on Bill Curry. People love Bill Curry.
For a second, I thought you said moron. Like you were calling someone a moron. I was like, oh boy, Adam's getting aggressive.
Moron Bill Curry. Here we go. Rick Rutherford said, geezers like me had to be thrilled with the segment about Bill Curry. In my freshman year, 67-68, every away game was narrated by Bill on our dorm radio. A description in the 79 book, The Winning Tradition, captured the mouth of the South perfectly. Describing a Far West Classic game in 1967 against Oregon State, featuring a 17-point comeback, Curry is described as quoting Milton, Shakespeare, and the Bible all at once. So, Jones?
Yep.
Put that on your list.
Mouth of the South, baby.
Ashley Creech, this was informative, says, one of the most intriguing applications to me of 3D printing is prosthetics, especially for children, as they can be reprinted cheaply, slightly larger to grow with the child. That makes sense.
Yeah. Adam, as we know, 3D printing's for everyone.
That's right.
For everybody.
And it's not just for...
They're uses that span space and time.
And age.
Yeah, could be for anyone.
Yeah, that's a legitimate good use of 3D printing other than just like, hey, let me see if I can print out something cool. An email from Tyrese Thompson.
Mm.
Subject line, something I think many people often wonder, does ESPN hate UNC?
Mm.
Tyrese says, so maybe this is my bias talking, but it feels like ESPN is not a fan of UNC basketball. During the pregame on Saturday, Mr. Angel... I think that's you, but he could have been talking to your dad. Talked about the Heels possibly being in the tournament. Looked at bracketology, and the Heels have basically lived on those last four lines. Then you look at teams like Oregon and LSU, and they are considered, quote, locks. Then I go today to the UNC page on ESPN, and the number one article is something about what the Blue Devils have to do to get in the tournament. I couldn't make any sense of it, so I figured I'd see what people closer to the situation think.
Well, Adam, I think, as we've discussed, that Carolina and Duke, and on a larger scale, probably Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, and Kansas, all get lumped together. And as we have discussed, I think of those four teams, and Kansas is new to this discussion, I think Carolina and Kansas are having much different seasons than Kentucky and Duke are. And I guess Michigan State, who somehow also is in this discussion, primarily, I think, because they play in the Champions Classic, and so ESPN has to keep acting like Michigan State, who, look, we respect you, Michigan State. But to claim Michigan State has the history of any of the four teams that we just mentioned would be incorrect. I digress. These teams get lumped together. And so when they can say, oh, Carolina and Duke aren't having very good years, well, Duke is not having a very good year. I think the Tar Heels, from the Tar Heel standard, maybe it's a little bit lower. But as we've talked about, I think Carolina is getting a lot better. They've won, going into that Miami game, they won 7-9. And so, yeah, I feel like that is part of the problem, is that there's a similar narrative that is being just basically used on the national level of, okay, the Super Bowl's over. You might just now be paying attention to college basketball. Here's some big items that are worth noting if you're just joining the party. Duke and Carolina aren't as good as they normally are. Well, okay, but it's not the same. And so as we have talked about that, I think it's very frustrating, but I think that's why it's happening. Having said all that, it seems like there were a lot of disagreements between Tar Heel fans and the coverage that the Carolina Duke game received on Saturday, which, of course, neither you nor I saw live. I haven't watched the replay either. Maybe you have. There seemed to be a lot of disagreements with the coverage.
I think, in general, does ESPN do things that will be beneficial for their ratings? Absolutely.
Of course they do.
Their primary business is related to their ratings. And they must have determined that Duke equals ratings. I think that's been fairly obvious over the last few years. That's one of the driving forces of their college basketball coverage. I also think, as we've talked about before, you have to remember that when national people talk about stuff like this, you assign a certain credibility to them because of the outlet that they're on. But in reality, their understanding of what they're talking about may be at the very surface level. And the people who fed them the topic may also be at that same very surface level. Good friend of the pod, Ken Cleary, sent us a picture from College Basketball Live after the Carolina-Duke game in which the ESPN was talking with Joe Lunardi, who, as again we have established, is the best-known bracket guy, but not close to being the best bracket guy. And the topic was, is North Carolina in danger of missing the tournament? This was after the Carolina-Duke game. Well, that's a much more eyeball-grabbing topic than, is Carolina as a team maturing?
Right.
That, no one's going to stop flipping channels when they come to that. But if you see, is Carolina going to miss the tournament? I might watch that. So they're always doing stuff for their ratings. As far as the broadcast goes, seems like heavy use of the split screen. Again, we didn't see it. I agree, that's completely frustrating. We talked about this on a recent show. Just please tell me about the game. I just want to see the game. So I don't think ESPN hates UNC.
No, I don't either. I think people equate saying good things about Duke as saying something negative about Carolina sometimes. And I agree that they say a lot of good things about Duke. Or focus on Duke. But again, I think to Adam's point, other people probably think they say a lot about Carolina too, and we're probably looking at it at a different lens. Because, I mean, just even on Saturday, you had a bunch of, I'm going to use this term lovingly, a lot of hipsters who were in there trying to tell me what was really the best. This Carolina Duke game's not the best game today. There's other games that are better. I followed college basketball back when they had peach baskets. So it's some of it is about perspective, I think. But I absolutely 100% agree Duke is a focus. But again, I would venture to guess that Carolina is and Kentucky is and Duke is and whichever teams that they feel like have proven are the most beneficial for them to talk about.
I saw somebody who tweeted on Saturday that the most important rivalry game of the day was USC and UCLA.
Yes, because it was they're kicking it off in the Rose Bowl. Check it.
I don't even know who won that game, and it's 3 days later.
Yeah.
Also, I can confirm there is an entire group of people who thinks ESPN is too much in love with UNC, and we call them NC State fans. Kevin Hendrick, right on top of the literary world, says, shortly after starring on the pod, John Grisham is set to release his first ever basketball book.
Yeah.
It's called Sooley, S-O-O-L-E-Y.
Adam, that interview was about a year ago that we put it out. I don't remember the exact date, but it was February of 2020. I know that. And so if you haven't heard it, you should go back and listen. And if you haven't, then what I'm going to say isn't going to make as much sense. But Adam, if somehow there's a character in that book with our names on it, in it, named after, I mean, not after us, but that we gave him the spark of an idea, I believe it's going to happen? No. Is there like a 1% of me that thinks it might and I'd be really excited? Yes.
I think it's fair to say he was intrigued by your name, Jones.
Yeah, he was. He was intrigued.
If only one of us is in there, I'm fully comfortable with the fact it's going to be you.
Well, I'm sure there's been an Adam in there before.
Yeah, probably. But he left here with that little nugget in his brain.
I know. I'm pretty excited about it.
And a year later, like that, it would fit right into the writing process.
I know.
I think it's coming out in April. Sooley.
I bet that I will read that book.
The pod needs an advanced review copy of that book. Want to revisit our good friends, Braden, the Duke fan who had a rough weekend.
Yeah.
And Miller.
By the way, Braden, I feel like it's not too late for you.
Like, that's right.
Like Braden's got, I can tell Braden seems pretty cool. So look, Braden, you may have made some choices. We all, when we're 7 and 8, sometimes we do things that we look back on and think later on they're not as cool. You still got plenty of time, Braden. I feel like you'd be a good addition over here to the Tar Heels.
And, Braden, there's more people like you over here with the Heels. Do you listen to a cool podcast like this about Duke?
Right.
No. Yeah. This is the epitome of cool right here.
Yeah.
You're on Mount Cool at the summit.
Yeah.
Right here.
You picked up your pleated pants on the way up here.
So, Braden, all the cool kids are over here, and if you want to be a cool kid, you'll be a Tar Heel.
Yeah.
And if you want to be a not cool kid, you can be that other side, but that's your own personal choice that you'll have to regret for the rest of your life.
Not too late.
Plenty of time. Think about your future. Now, that being said, as we know, grandmother Susan had the boys put together a project where they were making their all-ACC voting. I think it's fair to say once they make their selection, Susan has said she will tell us who they pick. We will, of course, let people know who the winners are. Susan says, as part of this week's assignment, Susan gives them a lot of assignments.
Yeah, this is an intense exercise.
She had them predict the score of the Carolina Duke game. Braden picked Duke to win 61-55.
Braden thought it was going to be a defensive affair.
Yeah.
I mean, but honestly, look, Tar Heels were coming off both teams were coming off bad games. I can see where you'd be swayed that way.
Miller had the Heels winning 83-69.
Oh. Well, I mean, at one point I thought you might have been right, Miller. Things were going really well.
Yeah.
But, oh, those crafty devils, you know they're gonna give it their best shot. Get back in it.
Miller told Susan several times, it's obvious Jones puts a lot of thought into his ACC selections.
Thanks, Miller. Thanks, buddy. I do.
So, Braden and Miller, when the Tar Heels and Blue Devils get back together, let us know your predictions for that game.
Yep.
So that we'll know. And then, of course, we want to get your All-ACC picks at the end of the year.
So, Susan, let me get you in on this idea here. You've been doing this project with Braden Miller. It's been some work for you because you've been putting your heart into it to make sure those two youngsters have a good experience. Susan, if you're ready for a weekend away, Adam would like to suggest the Pinehurst Resort. I don't know if you play golf or not, Susan, but it's more than just Donald Ross's masterpiece, Pinehurst number 2. There's the redesign of number 4. Maybe you just want a fun short course afternoon. Good news, the cradle. You can unwind at the stylish North and South Bar with its arrays of bourbons, whiskeys, and scotches, or stop into Pinehurst Brewing Company for craft beers and classic North Carolina barbecue. Never has there been more to discover at the cradle of American golf than right now. Go to pinehurst.com and plan your visit. Okay, upcoming. No more games this week for the Tar Heels until Saturday. Going to Charlottesville to face Virginia. Adam's got his cheer sheets ready to go. We've got that. That's, what time is that game, Adam?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
On the Thomas Jefferson Swatch Watch.
We will be on the air at 5 for that one. Don't forget, though, there's still so much more pod before that game. Mm. We've got video pod coming up on Thursday.
With all your handmade items?
Yep. We have an audio pod coming up on Friday. And as you know, we've got some great guests to choose from. So who knows who's going to join us. And a lot more. Adam, anything else before we get out of here?
No.
All right. So for now, we're going to let B-Dot and we're going to let the RZA get us out of here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
What's happening? I'm B-Dot, the unofficial mascot of Tar Heel basketball, and see you later, Big Grits.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all.
See you later, Big Green.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network, brought to you by Harris Teeter, where Tar Heel fans shop for groceries.